All right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Big news, Jasmine Crockett's running for Senate. We'll get to that in just a minute. Oof. Let me say it side by side there. There she is. She's running for Senate. Oof. She's already pulled this ad down, by the way. She put this ad out onto YouTube and has taken it down. And I'll show you why in just a minute. Let me say to everybody in the chat. Let me see. Greg Nine-Mon is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Patrina C is on. Those Jesus People is on. USA Abigail is on. Scooter Magruder is on. General Pileman is on. Trev McGroin is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Let me see here. Peg McGroin is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. JGCK is on. General Plowman is on. Bashful Ninja is on. Trev McGroin is on. Bud Dave is on. Aggravain is on. K4 VMS is on. Granite 2468 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Salty Gonads is on. Prayer Works 2, already said you, but I'll say you again, is on. KSDW is on. Or that's CSDW is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Scrolling down. Captain Cliff is on. Luann 5 is on. Wait Away is on. Let me see here. Grab a couple more here. Hefner is on. Mike Griffith is on and is ready. Barn Evil is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Jim Brody is on. Let me see here, scrolling down. N. Johns is on. Let me grab a couple more. Let me see here, scrolling down. Waterline 46 is on. Scrolling down, Sexy Pony is on. Let me see here, let me grab one or two more. LA 106 Times is on. The one and only Release the Hog is on. Everything is on. Let me see. That's funny. Conservative Warrior 65 is on. Arcadia Angel is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Right Angle News Network video. Like I said, Jasmine Crockett is now running for Senate. I don't know who she's running against. I'm assuming she's going for Cornyn's seat because I believe, I don't find out. Cornyn, she must be running for Cornyn's seat, but I believe, on the Democrat side, obviously, because it's Cornyn versus Ken Paxton. So I don't think Ted Cruz is up next. So it must be for Cornyn's seat. So anyway, she's running for Senate. Right Angle News Network, I'll tell you what, the country's over. She gets elected in Texas. But anyway, breaking, Jasmine Crockett uploaded, then quickly deleted her launch video. So this was her launch video. In other words, people cumulatively came together for weeks and launched this video there and put it together and shot it. And Aaron would know all the right verbiage, whatever, produced it.
Yep.
Did all these different things, whatever it is that they do. We did all the tech and everything. It's low tech anyway. Aaron could do way better than this with $5. But anyway, that's typical. And you're going to see when she, at her actual announcement ceremony, when she has, puts together this, this whole celebration of her announcement running for Senate, you'll see how low tech and abysmal and ghetto it is. But anyway, she had put this video out, worked on it for weeks, then put this video out and immediately deleted it, which was nothing more than a 44-second audio loop of President Trump calling her low IQ person. So here was her official launch video announcing that she's running for Senate in Texas. Play for me.
How about this new one they have? Their new star, Crockett. How about her?
She's the new star of the Democrat Party, Jasmine Crockett. They're in big trouble.
But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person.
I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
Crockett. Oh, man.
She's a very low IQ person.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Now they're going to rely on Crockett. Crockett's going to bring them back.
So what is that? What exactly is all that supposed to mean? So I'm assuming that resonates with leftists. I don't know. But what is this supposed to mean? You turn and you look at the camera. Now, allegedly, she's being victimized by the president. You know, she called like Marjorie Taylor Greene a bleach-haired butch body, whatever, and Hot Wheels to Governor Abbott. So she is a demeaning, nasty ghetto rat. That's who she is. But she's being victimized by Trump's verbiage that she is, in fact, low IQ, dumb person, the new Democratic Party disgrace. Some of those I'm adding myself. But allegedly, you know, Trump is treating her horribly, and she can just take it on. But it's so dramatic. I can't believe it. And again, she immediately took this video down. Worked on for weeks. This was it. This was her official "I'm launching for Senate" video, and she immediately took it down because it is so cringy. How do you not? What group of people? I just wonder how this works. Because before I do anything, I run it by Aaron. I run it by my wife. I run it by people, and I'm like, okay, is this stupid? Is this a stupid thing? Because, or my son too. I'm like, because you got all different, my son's in his mid-20s. Aaron just crossed the 30 line. He's what, 32. My wife's same age as me. You know, my daughter's in her early 20s. I run things by these people. So I'm like, how stupid is this? Is this stupid? I'm just wondering how this works that you actually, you know, symbolically speaking, you have this out on YouTube and social media for 30 seconds and pull it. Nobody told you how stupid it is to sit there and act like you're victimized by the words of the president. And again, she acts like she is from the hood. No, she only acts like she's from the hood. She's not from the hood. She only acts like she's from the hood. She went to a very bougie, expensive private school, very bougie, expensive private college. So, I mean, please, she is not, or university may not have been private. But anyway, she is a very bougie, globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist. That's who she is. And yet she acts like she is now standing in the gap left by Martin Luther King. And she is, I mean, she's exactly the opposite. So let's go to the next one. Greg Price video. We now go live. I'm going to let it be just like this. We now go live to Jasmine Crockett's Senate announcement, where a rapper just performed a song about her. Play for me.
Let's get into it.
Okay. She ain't never scared and she ain't never been. Who is willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around someone who votes Republican. She advocate for feeding kids. They protect folks touching them. Trump invading his own country with our army. What a joke. We remember Pearl Harbor by illegally bombing boats. What y'all thought we wasn't gonna do nothing, buddy? Think again. They only trying to scare out of running because they think she'll win. Listen, thought I told y'all we ain't never scared. Now look who name on the docket. Got two words for every racist bigot. Jasmine Crockett. Yeah, that might be true, but in all the history, I know.
Y'all hear the words.
So which side you want to choose? Me, I hope my money goes to side that isn't trying to say affordabilities. I hope she stand on business, Austin toes. Texas dope, don't need no more bad built, bleach blonde, butch bodies moving forward.
Okay, there you go. I mean, who comes up with this? And by the way, I could have spent an hour on this ceremony alone because they also start off with a ridiculous video clip of Jasmine Crockett, which is equally as cringe as the video clip I already showed you of Jasmine Crockett. And then they just cut off and then it just goes back to the crowd and nothing's happening. They all just stand around. I mean, and these people want to run the country. I mean, this woman wants to actually run the country. So how bad? I mean, again, did anybody check with this? With this quote unquote rapper? Did anybody like run this through a process of approving? I mean, I'm just wondering, nobody caught that was the most cringe thing I've ever seen. And I was telling the guys, it reminds me of like horrible Christmas performances that I've seen at my church. I'm sitting there in the audience because once it starts, there's nothing you can do. You're sitting out there. And it's usually like, it can be your biggest service of the year, your Christmas Eve service or whatever, you know, Christmas service you're doing and you're stuck. And I'm just like, Lord, if I'm going to heaven, just strike me with lightning right now. Just kill me. I can't take another guitar solo like that. I can't take another wrenching, awful solo. I can't take uncoordinated kid dances.
Oh my God.
I don't think anything's cute. Nothing's cute to me. Nothing. I'm just letting you know. Like the kid and they all come up. Oh, they're all so cute. And nobody's singing, they're screeching, and the kid's rolling around on the floor. I'm like, whosoever kid this is that's rolling around on the floor, that dad should be up there spanking them right now. I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I run them before. I'm like, it's not cute. I want everything coordinated. I want everything perfect. Don't we're not freaking doing it. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's cute to have a kid up there with both of his pinkies jammed up his nose while they're singing Silent Night. You're like, Tom, is this, all this has happened. So I'm like, no. I'm like, no, I don't want any part of it. So anyway, I'm like, Tom, you're digressing. I know, but I'm just saying, doesn't anybody, like, you're going to put on a senatorial announcement ceremony and nobody actually checks to see how cringy all of this is? And it's bad, too. You can tell up there that her armpits are sweating. There's sweat rolling down her butt crack. Here she is, Greg Price video. Crockett, turning Texas blue is what, here, quote, this is exact quote, what I want to talk to y'all today. That's what she said. Turning Texas blue is what I want to talk to y'all today. That's what she said. Play it for me.
When Texas turns blue, it won't be because of any one candidate, but because of each and every one of you doing your part. Turning Texas blue is what I want to talk to y'all about today. Now, there are those that say, ain't no way we done tried it 50 kinds of ways. Let me be clear, y'all ain't never tried it the JC way. We used to telling us what I can't do, but they have no idea what Crockett's crew will do. And so I just want to be clear for all the haters in the back. Listen up real loud. We gonna get this thing done. So they tell us that Texas is red. They are.
Everyone can just acknowledge there's absolutely no energy in that room, and everybody's thinking the exact same thing I am. Even in that room is, what in the world are we gonna do with this ghetto rat? That's all that they're thinking. I mean, if that woman gets elected as a senator in the state of Texas, I mean, we the country's in trouble. I mean, huge, huge trouble. All right, let's go to another bastion of leftism, Malibu, California, i.e. the Palisades fire. I love Adam Carolla's coverage of the rebuilding of the Palisades in Malibu. Now, only places that really burnt in Malibu are the ones that benefit the government the most. Those are the ones that actually burnt. Everybody else was spared, strangely. Same thing with Pacific Palisades, 14,000 homes burnt to the ground, the ones that would benefit the government the most. And of course, BlackRock. And everything else was spared. It's kind of weird how all that works, isn't it? But anyway, so Adam Carolla puts together this video. Another Malibu fire progress report. Play it for me.
Well, it's been 11 months since the fire, and there is zero going up on PCH, nothing being put up at all. Well, actually, there is a lot of graffiti going up. So there has been a lot of progress made in terms of graffiti.
Now, if I would have thought about this before, well, I couldn't have thought about it, but Aaron just brought something up, a really good footage would be, let's compare and contrast Ron DeSantis, who's trying to get rid of our property taxes for all of our homestead houses. Ooh, please, yes. I would love to do a side-by-side comparison of this community that we're living in right now. We were hit in 2022 with Ian, which was a Cat 5, although recategorized to 4 for insurance purposes for the insurance lobby. But I digress, with 200-mile-an-hour winds somehow becoming a category 4, which is an extreme category 5, and a 12-hour monster that sat here and did $4 million to the building that I'm sitting right now, $268,000 worth of damage to my house. But I got about half that from all the insurance companies. So that worked out really well for all of us. But anyway, but even with that, we're fully rebuilt.
Yep.
I mean, and then of course, 2024, last year, it was Helene and Morton, I believe, are the names, right? So Helene was the one that destroyed Asheville, North Carolina, parts of Alabama, Tennessee, all of that. So anyway, and if you were to compare, like Aaron was talking about, if you go down to Inglewood Beach, was destroyed, I mean, over and over again, by Ian. Inglewood is basically the beach nearest to us right here. You have all the West Coast, Sarah's, you have like Siesta Key rolling down, Nacomas Beach, Inglewood Beach, all those beaches. But anyway, Venice Beach. So destroyed. I mean, and then destroyed again, and then destroyed again, because Helene and Morton were flooding. They were horrible, especially Helene. Destroyed Inglewood Beach.
Yeah.
It's basically fully back. What about this? 11 months, nothing. Not. You can't even find a permit anywhere. But don't worry, there's lots more graffiti than there was on the burned out houses. So that is, again, if you, maybe it's 518 people watching right now, 521 with three of us in this room. If you're a Democrat and you've stumbled on this, explain to me the attributes of being a Democrat. Could you please? I mean, I would love to know the attributes of being a Democrat when you can't rebuild anything in 11 months. Nothing. I mean, it's not even a matter of nothing's been completed in 11 months. There's not a board anywhere. There's no infrastructure. There's no concrete being poured. There's no platforms anywhere. There's no scaffolding. There's no painters. There's no carpenters, nothing. Why? Because the process, and it's all on purpose, and I don't mean to digress too far into this, but it's all purposeful, permanent destruction. Because what it is, what burned all of these houses to the ground, this is just Malibu, and these are very expensive homes, multi-millions per. Not only did these all burn to the ground, but the Palisades burned to the ground too, which was more middle class for California with an average home price between like $2 and $15 million. But anyway, they burned to the ground because of the people who are not allowing you to rebuild. So how is it not on purpose then? If they're burned to the ground because of Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass and their climate policies that now also don't allow you to rebuild without getting through their strenuous, basically impossible permitting process because of their climate regulations. So they burn you to the ground using climate regulations by not cutting back the brush, by not raking the forest, as Trump said, by not ever rebuilding your electrical infrastructure where you have power poles that were put up in the 50s and even in the 30s with the brush pushed up against them, because somehow or another it affects the climate to cut back dead brush and dead trees. Somehow that increases CO2 when you cut down dead forests. Somehow that does that. But anyway, and of course, we all know CO2 is a big fallacy anyway. But anyway, the CO2 being a problem is a giant fallacy. But anyway, I just, if you're a Democrat, maybe you can send this to a Democrat. You can clip this and send it to a Democrat. I'm just wondering what it means or what attributes there are in being a Democrat. I mean, look at these houses. I mean, nothing. Aaron, do you see even a construction crew?
Nope.
I mean, you're talking about a barren freaking wasteland.
Yeah.
They're having the Olympics there in like a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's more in L.A. than Malibu itself, but this is all greater L.A. Nothing in 11 months. That's what it means to be a Democrat. And by the way, everybody's homes you see here are Democrats. If Republicans are burning my house down, I think I might switch parties. If my party that I believed in, I'd never be a Democrat, but I'm just saying, if my party caused my house to burn to the ground and then doesn't allow me to rebuild it, Aaron, wouldn't you switch parties?
Yeah.
I would switch parties. All right, change subject. Let's go to vaccines, my favorite. I wonder if I'll escape this. 9:24. I think I will. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to end the show right here with vaccines. Plus, I can't because I've got to get to Cabal Speech, which I said was the title of the show.
Right.
So anyway, I have to. But anyway, but it's dangerous for me at 9:24 to start talking about vaccines. But it is the flu vaccine, not COVID. All right, Eric Doherty video. Breaking, Big Pharma is now panicking because President Trump's FDA made the bold move. This is a bold move, Aaron. This is a bold move, Brent. Bold move. To require the flu vaccine, to require the flu vaccine prove its effectiveness.
Oh.
That's a bold move. So you're going to actually require vaccine companies to prove that their vaccines actually do something before you mandate them. Or before you actually approve them, you're actually going to make the vaccine companies prove that they actually lower your chances of getting the flu or lower flu mortality, which of course they do not, which we'll prove in just a second. But anyway, FDA made the bold move to require the flu vaccine prove its effectiveness at reducing the flu to be put on the market. Play for me.
This week, we saw a big sell-off in biotech stocks following these reports that the FDA, which you used to run at the first part of the Trump administration, is now going to require one study to clinch approval of vaccines. You were one of the former commissioners who put out this really extraordinary editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine arguing that the FDA and top vaccine regulator Dr. Vinay Prasad are changing policies in a way that's going to slow down new and better vaccines. What specifically is the problem you see? Because this isn't just Hep B. This is the vaccines of the future, you're saying, just won't be created.
Right. So Vinay Prasad, who is the head of the Biologics Center, also oversees the vaccine division. He also has been appointed the head of biostatistics, the chief medical officer of the agency, and the chief scientific officer. So he occupies a lot of positions. Put out a memo saying that they're going to do away with or move away from what they call immunobridging studies. These are studies that allow you, for well-validated vaccines like the flu vaccine, to be able to demonstrate each year that the vaccine, the new vaccine that's formulated against the circulating strain, can elicit antibodies that are effective against that particular strain, and that could be the basis of approval, rather than requiring new outcome studies every year to prove that the vaccine actually reduces the incidence of influenza. For established vaccines where we know that antibody production is a good correlate for immunity, this has been a long-standing practice. We do it for flu vaccine, we do it in COVID certainly, we do it for things like pneumococcal vaccine, the vaccine for pneumococcal disease, where we look at serotypes, circulating bacterial serotypes. This allows us to update vaccines as these viral and bacterial strains change and as the composition of the strains change in time to provide protection for the fall respiratory season. If they move away from this, which is what he said they plan to do, we're just not going to be able to update vaccines each season as we've done historically to accommodate whatever the circulating.
So let me ask you something. Now, again, we have, of course, Scott Gottlieb there. He's also, just so everybody knows, he's the one who made up the six-foot rule out of thin air and has now publicly admitted that it was just made up out of thin air, that everybody abided by globally. I mean, you're talking about a conflict of interest here. Now, here's Scott Gottlieb, who profits off of vaccines, claiming the attributes of, can anybody guess? Vaccines, because he sits on the Pfizer board. So he is on the board of Pfizer, and he still is given an unbiased platform. He's given a platform as if he's an unbiased contributor when he is a manufacturer of vaccines. So any time that he can get vaccines actually approved, he makes money. Should he then be in charge of their approval? Does anybody want to, you know, if you're going to have an unbiased look at Christianity, are you going to hire me? Unbiased look at Christianity. Just do them. No, because I'm biased. I'm very biased. I'm not going to have an unbiased viewpoint of Christianity. But yet, lo and behold, I think it was CNN, but whatever mainstream media outfit it was. You're actually going to proffer that Scott, again, this is how disingenuous. And I just ask all of you Democrats, and again, send this to your Democrat friends. How do you even hold on to a moniker of integrity? How do you do that when Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, but now on the Pfizer board, is given a platform on CNN, CBS, thanks, Aaron, CBS, as an unbiased contributor? I mean, should he be, and again, and not only that, but as a Pfizer board member, he's writing an unbiased article in the New England Journal of Medicine, claiming the attributes of flu vaccines, which again are mutating viruses. Can everyone just please understand something? Maybe you're somebody who gets a flu vaccine. You shouldn't. Because you cannot vaccinate against a mutating virus. You cannot vaccinate against a virus that has an animal host. How many times have I said that, Aaron, over the last 6 years?
Thousands.
Thousands of times. Why? Because if it has an animal host, mainly mammal animal host, it is always mutating against all outside forces, including vaccinations. And there are substantive studies that prove that vaccinations actually cause more mutations at a faster rate. So when you cannot vaccinate against an ever-mutating animal-hosted virus, you cannot. So when you get your flu vaccination, you are 10 rungs away from the original flu that started that season. That's how it is. It's a complete waste of time. And yet there he is. And he makes the false claim again that antibody production is a sign of immunity. No, it's not. No, it's not. Pfizer cannot even tell you in detailed form how it is that their antibody production stops COVID, because it doesn't. You can't. The antibodies are against that strain of dead flu. That's five flu viruses away from the current one. When they just using COVID as an example, because you have the alpha variant, the Delta variant, the Omicron variant. Everybody who was vaccinated for Omicron, they were vaccinated against Alpha.
Yep.
Same thing with Delta. So there was no point ever. And by the way, you're like, well, I took my sixth COVID vaccination, so I'm fully vaxxed. I took that, a year after Omicron. Okay, but there's been 11 strains of Omicron.
Right.
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense, which is why, of course, and I've said this a million times using COVID as an example, when did everybody start to die of COVID? Because Aaron and I have put out the charts over and over and over again. These are unbiased charts. These are coming from the medical institutions in all these countries. Everybody started to die of AIDS after they got their COVID vaccinations, because they're getting vaccinated against a virus that no longer exists. And they're getting the mRNA vaccination actually causes your body to produce the spike protein and eliminates your immune system. Everybody started to die afterwards. So let's look at what the flu vaccine has done. I've shown this video before. I got to show it again. That was Scott Gottlieb yesterday, the day before, speaking on CBS, the attributes of the flu vaccine that he sells, but he's unbiased. Cheryl Atkinson video, as I reported in 2009, still true today. Play it for me.
The CDC is taking a closer look at how best to protect seniors from the flu. The agency is holding a symposium about that and other issues this week. It all follows a series of studies that question the effectiveness of flu shots given to older people. Here's Cheryl Atkinson with our report.
Millions of seniors swear by their annual flu shots. After all, 90% of people killed by the flu are 65 or older.
That's perfect.
But CBS News has learned that behind the scenes, public health officials have come to a new and disturbing conclusion. Mass vaccinations of the elderly haven't done the job. Dr. Walter Orenstein was among the first to notice the problem when he headed up the Centers for Disease Control's National Immunization Program. He says it's now become a consensus among public health experts.
And what is absolutely clear is that there is still a substantial burden of deaths and hospitalizations out there that has not been prevented through the present strategy.
Here's what scientists have found. Over 20 years, the percentage of seniors getting flu shots increased sharply from 15% to 65%. It stands to reason that flu deaths among the elderly should have taken a dramatic dip, making an X graph like this. Instead, flu deaths among the elderly continue to climb. It was hard to believe, so researchers at the National Institutes of Health set out to do a study, adjusting for all kinds of factors that could be masking the true benefits of the shots. But no matter how they crunched the numbers, they got the same disappointing result. Flu shots have not reduced deaths among the elderly. It's not what health officials hoped to find. NIH wouldn't let us interview the study's lead author, so we went to Boston and found the only co-author not employed by NIH, Dr. Tom Reichert.
We realized that we had incendiary material.
Dr. Reichert says they thought their study would prove vaccinations had helped.
We were trying to do something mainstream, that's for sure.
Were you surprised?
Astonished.
Did you check the data a couple of times to make sure?
Well, even more than that, we've looked at other countries now, and the same is true.
That study, soon to be published, finds the same poor results in Australia, France, Canada, and the UK. And other new research stokes the idea that decades of promoting flu shots in seniors and the billions spent haven't had the desired result. The current head of National Immunizations confirms CDC is now looking at new strategies, but stops short of calling the present policy a failure.
There's an active dialogue into how we can do better to prevent influenza and its complications in the elderly.
So what's an older person to do? The CDC says they should still get their flu shots, that it could make flu less severe or prevent other problems not reflected in the total numbers. But watch for CDC to likely shift in the near future more toward protecting the elderly in a roundabout way by vaccinating more children and others around them who could give them the flu.
All right, there's more to that video. I mean, let's go back to front. So the flu vaccine is causing more old. And then, by the way, both of those are CBS reports. So CBS, that one was 2006, and now the other one was Scott Gottlieb today. So proving that the flu vaccine doesn't work, you have Gottlieb talking about how it does work on the same network. But anyway, so your solution is, after you find out via definitive, even leftards admitting it, scientists, they admit that the death rate from the flu has gone up in those that you vaccinate. So you're vaccinating them against a virus that they're now dying of at a greater rate after vaccination. And their solution at the CDC is to vaccinate kids so that the elderly don't get it. Hmm. And after they find out all this, what do they say? What is, quote, CDC, they should still get it. It started off with 15%. Remember, this is 20 years ago. This is 19, 20 years ago. Started off with 15% of the elderly population in the United States got flu vaccination, and they went up to 65%. You're like, oh my gosh, flu solved. Flu solved. No, the death rate went up as people got injected more and more. and then reported as not that the vaccine was not effective. Is it not effective, or is it very effective at killing people? It doesn't. It's not only not working. It's just like COVID. Not only is it not working, it's actually killing its host. It's not reported. I mean, listen, when you go from 50% uptake to 65% uptake and the death rate goes up, it's not that it's not working. It's actually killing its host. And what does the CDC say to do? And at that time, under George Bush, take it. And you know what? We're going to now divert it and we're going to have kids take it so that the elderly who are already vaccinated against this, all just this, it's the same vaccine rhetoric. Why would you need kids to take it if you're vaccinated yourself, if the vaccination works?
Right.
Well, I mean, we heard this, you know, from Fauci. We heard it from Rochelle Walensky. We heard it from Francis Collins. We heard it from the Biden administration that we should get vaccinated so that the vaccinated don't get COVID. What's the point of getting vaccinated if everybody has to get vaccinated for you not to get the disease you're vaccinated against? Everybody see how stupid this is? Please tell me. But there it is. That's just the truth. You take any of these now, by the way, the flu shots are mRNA, you are crazy. They'll shut down your immune system. It'll shut it down. Don't take Ozempic either, by the way. It shuts down your digestive system. The reports are coming out. The multi-billion dollar lawsuits are coming out. If you want to lose weight, don't trust these people. Don't trust an abortionist with your life. Everybody that's creating these vaccines kills babies, and they're fine with it. They were killing babies in the midst of the COVID of the Pfizer COVID vaccine trials. 28 out of 3,200 miscarried, and they called it a vaccine side effect naturally resolved. That's who these people are. Don't be, if you're fat, don't take Ozempic. I'll solve all the problems for you with fatness. It's real simple. The only reason why you're fat is you're burning less calories you take in. There you go. So what do? Take in less calories. Then you're burning. Very simple. You don't need to shut your body down. All right, let's go to Ukraine. Big hard right turn. Eric Doherty video. Breaking, President Trump just exposed that Ukrainian President Zelensky hasn't even read the peace plan. Play it for me.
What's your next step in Russia-Ukraine talks after last week's negotiations?
So we've been speaking to President Putin, and we've been speaking to Ukrainian leaders, including Zelensky, President Zelensky. And I have to say that I'm a little bit disappointed that President Zelensky hasn't yet read the proposal. That was as of a few hours ago. His people love it, but he hasn't. Russia's fine with it. Russia, I guess, would rather have the whole country when you think of it. But Russia is, I believe, fine with it. But I'm not sure that Zelensky is fine with it. His people love it. But he hasn't read it. So someday you'll explain that.
So Macron and the Chancellor of Germany, they have met recently with Zelensky, and they're bad-mouthing us. And they're like, we're just going to press on without you. Here's the thing. They are currently, by the way, and this is things that people who are black-pilled on Trump don't talk about Trump's successes. And the reason why they don't talk about his successes is because it doesn't fit their narrative and they get a lot of views being black-pilled. You have to tell both sides. I hated the Iranian bombing, but I like what he's done with Ukraine. I like what he's done with the southern border. I like that he's bombing the drug boats. All right. I don't like other certain things that will pop into my mind as I go if I want them to. But anyway, so you have to just tell the truth about it. But the thing is, we no longer send money to Ukraine. That's not happening. Okay, I don't think we should be sending money to Ukraine. I don't think we should be sending money to Israel. I don't think we should be sending money to anybody. We're $38 trillion in debt. And even if we weren't, we shouldn't be sending money to them because Israel is extremely wealthy. And Ukraine is a Slavic conflict we have no part in. It's been going on for 1,000 years. But anyway, so the European Union... No, it's not really the European Union, but European countries, because it's not Ursula von der Leyen, it's independent presidents and chancellors, are talking to Zelensky and saying, you know, we don't really like where the United States is standing. We're going to have to press on without him. I'm like, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, please. And by the way, you can't, because here's what's happening. What Trump has done is turn it to our favor, where we are no longer financing it, but we're selling the weapons to them. We're selling the weapons and the ammunition to not even directly to Ukraine. We're selling them to the UK, to France, into Germany to then give to Ukraine. So finally, the NATO countries are actually paying their 5%, which is a separate subject. But I'm just saying, and cumulatively speaking, Trump makes them all pay, which is why they hate him, because they want to continue to freeload like every cheap human being likes to do. But anyway, so Trump has completely turned around the Ukraine conflict. No, he didn't solve it. He never should have said he could, because you're never going to solve a Slavic conflict once it starts. It's never going to happen. Just like you're never going to stop Benjamin Netanyahu from bombing. He's going to bomb. Yep. He wants to bomb. He wants to be in conflict. He has to bomb because he's facing criminal charges if he's not a wartime leader. That is the way that it is. He has wartime exemptions right now, but you know, emergency powers because he's at war. Now, if you get powers in an emergency, what are you going to constantly create? Emergency. Especially if you get a prosecutorial immunity, you're going to create emergency powers to keep yourself immune, which is what Benjamin Netanyahu does. But by the way, going back all the way to the lineage of Abraham, that it's always been this fight, Muslim versus Israel, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. So anyway, so if they cut us out, they don't get any weapons. So I'm like, please, cut us out. I mean, Macron married to a man and was, yeah, in my opinion, raped by that man about when he was 14. But anyway, Brigitte, who has no attributes of a woman at all. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, if he wants to go it alone, let him go. They're talking big talk. Don't sell him anything. I hope Trump could. That's the only, sometimes the only problem with Trump is he's kind-hearted once he gets somebody in the room. He gets somebody in the room, Macron comes and starts kissing his butt, licking his boots. Trump folds sometimes. He's like, you know, he's kind, because he is very kind-hearted. You actually look at his past and his benevolence. I'm talking about massive multi-million-dollar, maybe billion-dollar benevolence. He is a big giver. So people get in the room and they can get him because he's soft-hearted. They can give him their sob story and he caves. Hopefully he doesn't. They want to go it alone? Let him go it alone. They have no weapons. They have no militaries. You ought to watch a military parade coming out of France, out of Canada, out of the UK. It's basically a trans fest. All right, speaking of trans fest, let's go to Gavin Newsom. Clown World Video. Newsom, if we don't democratize our economy and allow for the distribution of wealth, is that Nazi? Yeah, National Socialist, correct. Our democracy will die unless we go Nazi. Play for me.
We have a party that I think needs to design and develop a compelling economic vision for the future where people feel included, to reconcile the fact that if we don't democratize our economy, we're not going to save democracy. And I don't think it's healthy that we have 10% of people that own 2/3 the wealth in this country. I don't think it's sustainable practice. The folks watching Mr. Beast, disproportionately 30-year-olds, the first generation in history not doing better than their parents. There's some underlying issues here that have to be addressed. We have an economy that is broken for too many people.
Gavin Newsom right now will probably have a $17 billion deficit. California has the largest unfunded liability of $250 billion that they don't have the money to meet. Largest number of homeless, largest number of illegal aliens, most expensive houses, highest gas tax, highest electricity tax, highest sales tax, not 1 foot of high-speed rail, $15 billion down the rat hole. Solar plant blows up, battery plant in Monterey, remember that? Two of them, $1 billion. Solar plant in the desert, oh, it doesn't work anymore. That's just $2 billion. Oh, 17,000 driver's license. This is Gavin Newsom, but my point of all that is, why then is he funding a reparations commission? Or why does he give $500 million in Medi-Cal when Medi-Cal is broke and he needs $2 billion from the federal government? And 50% of the births are on Medi-Cal and 40% of the population are on Medi-Cal. And he gives illegal aliens Medi-Cal. He says he didn't, but he did. He said $500 million and now it's gone. But does he ever understand that he has a $17 billion deficit looming? Maybe that was the reason why. If you have the highest income taxes and the highest sales taxes and the highest gas taxes, you would think that you would be flushed with cash. No, he's going to run for president. I don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to say, I'm going to do for America what I did for California? I was just looking the other day what he's been saying. here's my plan to lower electricity. Here's my plan to lower gas. Here's my plan to build 6-lane freeways and stop the carnage. Here's my plan to address high-speed rail boondock. Here's my plan to deal with the most homeless in the nation. Here's my plan to lower sales taxes. This is my plan to make housing the most expensive per square foot in the country. No, it's I'm going to hit Donald Trump in the mouth. He's a bully.
I mean, look at the stats, and he will be, and Aaron and I predicted that he would run against Trump in 2024, and that was the plan. That's why Nancy Pelosi torpedoed Biden. It was to get her nephew, Gavin Newsom, in there, and it didn't work out. They kind of Biden could be vindictive, and Biden basically shoved Kamala up everybody's rectum. That's what he did, and because he was mad that everybody kicked him out. But anyway, so just look at Newsom's statistics. As he's running, this is what... Whether it's DeSantis running for president, whether it's J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, whoever's running for president, more on our side, they need to have all of this memorized because Gavin Newsom is going to spout what appears to be true statistics. He's good at it. And he's somewhat convincing at it. If you don't know that he's a bold-faced, greasy-haired, bleach-toothed liar, then you know, then you'll believe it. So you need to have all this memorized. $17 billion deficit. He took over. They are at a surplus. Billion, multi-billion dollar surplus. Now, just 8 years later, $17 billion deficit. Same thing with Tampon Timmy. Same thing with J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. Same thing every time. And $250 billion worth of unfunded liabilities. What does that mean? Those debts and deficits are coming. They're just not there yet. $250 billion in one state that have unfunded liabilities. He has the highest crime rate in the nation, highest homeless rate, highest tax rate, highest gas prices, highest home prices, and I don't know if they're the highest gas prices, but extremely high gas prices, and spent $24 billion on a homeless problem that's done nothing but get exponentially worse. And of course, we could always talk about the high-speed rail for a half an hour in and of itself. The high-speed rail that runs from one non-city to the other, and it's up now, it's supposed to cost $16 billion. Billions of your tax dollars have already been spent on California, not California citizens, not just citizens of the state of California, United States citizens have spent billions of dollars on Gavin Newsom's high-speed rail, and nothing's being done. Why? Because you can't put that high-speed rail through a dense, dried-up brush, I guess. That's what it is. All right, change the subjects again. Going to J6. I'm just jumping all over the place, and then we'll get to Cabal speech. All right, Viva Fry video. Does @RealDonaldTrump know who is working in Bondi's DOJ? Enrique Terrio, play for me.
Before trial, they put me in a room, and we talked about this part. They put me in a room. They slid a piece of paper across the desk with a narrative on it. And they're like, if you sign this, you'll have a bail hearing next week, and we guarantee you won't do a single day in prison. I pulled the document in. I looked at it. And basically, what the document said was that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, through the means of a third party, told me to storm the Capitol of the United States to stop the certification of the election.
May I stop you just for 1 second? Who's asking, who's sliding this paper and who's asking you to sign it?
Her name is Jocelyn Ballantyne, and she works for the Department of Justice. And she was the head of the Capitol Siege Division for the Department of Justice at the time. Sitting in the room, she's the one that offered it. I said no. And she told me to lie about the president in order to go home. And there is no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt. There's no doubt, because at that time, Jack Smith hadn't been appointed yet. There's no doubt in my mind that one of the people that were working with Jack Smith to prosecute the president, because it was a January 6th case, she definitely worked with Jack Smith. There's no doubt in my mind that Jocelyn Ballantyne worked with Jack Smith to prosecute the president of the United States, right? Because there's no other person, right, that knows more about everything that happened at the Capitol than the head of the Capitol Siege Division at the DOJ.
But and I presume, you'll correct me if my assumption is wrong, Had you signed that, they would have used that. Ballantyne would have used that to prosecute Trump.
Well, she would have given it to Jack Smith at that point. Jack Smith, again, wasn't, the timeline is that Jack Smith wasn't appointed until much a couple months later. But I'm 100% sure she would have been the person working there with it. She was the one that gave the offer. So the person that was going to help Jack Smith put the president away, Jocelyn Ballantyne, still works for the DOJ.
And Enrique Terrio didn't sign it and got 22 years in prison. He was never in D.C. on the day of 1-6. Never on the day of the protest of 1-6. I'm not going to call it an insurrection unless I slip. But anyway, so this is Jocelyn Ballantyne, who still works for Pam Bondi. She walks in there. This is the exact same thing that Maureen Comey, daughter of James Comey, former head of the FBI. It's such an incestuous symbiote circle bleep. This entire, I mean, I need to do an entire show about who's related to who. I need to do a whole, because, I mean, most of you are red-pilled, you already know, but it blows my mind, and it's entertaining just to know how this entire system works, because it is one giant circle bleep, symbiote, incestuous, single-line family tree. But anyway, so you have Jocelyn Ballantyne, who still works for Pam Bondi. Right now, she goes into the base, either symbolically or via an intermediary, goes in and meets with Enrique Terrio and says, sign this document that's a bold-faced lie. Now, she's going to, and again, I know that I get wrapped up into this stuff. She's going to sleep like a baby at night knowing that she put a false document in front of somebody, said, just sign this and quote, you'll have a bail hearing next week and you'll have no time in prison. And the document says that Donald J. Trump, via a third party, ordered Enrique Terrio to storm the Capitol to stop the certification election, none of which occurred. Maureen Comey goes to Jeffrey Epstein, who hates Donald Trump. And why it didn't pan out, I don't know. I guess it wasn't going to pan out. They felt like Moore would get exposed, so it was better killing Epstein than have him sign Maureen Comey's document, because Maureen Comey goes to Epstein and says, and by the way, this is a direct witness, somebody who was right there, witnessed the entire thing, and says to Jeffrey Epstein, you just need to tell us that Trump was having sex with underage girls. No need for proof. We don't know if we'll ever even charge him. We just need you to say it. And you're out of here. That's why Epstein, via witnesses, but including his own brother, he was very happy before he committed suicide, because he knew he was getting out, because he thought he was going to sign that document and be out. But I wonder if, you know, who was in charge of the DOJ at the time? Oh, Billy Barr was in charge. And remember, Billy Barr's dad is the one who actually institutionalized. By what I mean by institutionalized, I don't mean but he put in a nut house. He was the one who actually got Jeffrey Epstein's first job at Bear Stearns. I mean, so maybe Billy Barr didn't want things to come out about his dad, whatever it was. So anyway, you just see how all of this works. And how many people, and you talked to, I was watching, I can't remember, Stuart Barnes, I think is his name, on Alex Jones, J6 defendant, talking about how other J6 defendants ratted him out so that they could get him. It's not even, I make a correction with that. They didn't rat it out. Actually, gave false testimony against him, saying that he did things so that they could get off. And that's exactly what they tried to do with Enrique Terrio. And he didn't do it. And got 22 years in prison. He was never even in D.C. 22 years in prison. I mean, it truly is. It's like Tina Peters. 8 years in prison for doing nothing. She's still there. 8 years in prison. Michael Flynn, 9 years in prison for doing nothing. Roger Stone, same thing. 9 years in prison for doing nothing. And all of these other people. George Santos, 8 years in prison for basically just saying something false on his resume. Because all you have to do is just create a crime. They're like charging Trump with the protests on J6 because he said to peacefully and patriotic protests. You're like, how could that ever work? Because won't the magical they come in? Won't the truth then set you free? Well, I mean, because eventually, the video proof will show that you're innocent. I mean, I'm working on a little, I say 5 minute, but with me, it'll be 30 minutes. 5 minute, dissertation on Derek Chauvin. I got a video I'm going to be working off of. But anyway, Derek Chauvin's completely innocent. I mean, and he's got 22 years in prison right now. He didn't do anything. He didn't do one thing wrong. I mean, he didn't handle the arrest the way that I would have, but I'm just saying he didn't do anything criminal for sure. But all they have to do is come up with some, like you have Derek Chauvin sitting there in the same police stance with his knee on the back of somebody's neck that a billion cops have done. A billion. I mean, over time. And you have the training video that shows him being trained to do that exact move. And yet he's in prison for 22 years for killing George Floyd when the medical examiner, the coroner, said that he died of a fentanyl overdose and had 95% oxygenation rate in his lungs at the moment of death, which makes it impossible for Derek Chauvin to have strangled / asphyxiated him to death when he has a 95% oxygenation rate. Then how did Derek Chauvin kill him? If he didn't strangle him to death, then how did he kill him? How are you a judge? You have the coroner come in with Derek Chauvin. Not at the moment of death, George Floyd was at a 95% oxygenation rate in his lungs, which is normal. He died of a fentanyl overdose, but he was breathing fine. He just thought he couldn't breathe because he was dying of a fentanyl overdose. He had three times the lethal amount of fentanyl, but Derek Chauvin's in prison right now. Stabbed 22 times in one incident. 22 times in a 22-year sentence. Maybe it's 27 times. But anyway. And that's exactly what they're doing, and they sleep like babies at night. And Derek Chauvin, I mean, wait till you see it. The FBI being involved in a state case. It's very much like Matthew Colangelo with Trump's 34 felony convictions. That's the feds involved in a local case. But anyway, that just shows you exactly how corrupt these people are. But the worst thing is Jocelyn Ballantyne is still working in the Trump administration. Mm. Why? Why? It's the great thing. I don't always agree with Laura Loomer, but that's the great thing about Laura Loomer. She's constantly exposing these people. This time it's Viva Fry, though. All right, Paul A. Cipulla video. I don't know how much this video I'm going to show you, but I just always have to remind people who the Democratic Party is. I want you to know the person talking to you is a fully penised man that is now renamed, still fully penised, and we won't lop it off. If you're gonna call yourself a woman, I expect you to lop it off, and I still won't call you a woman. Because you ain't got any ovaries, you don't have a uterus, nothing. You have now an inverted penis, which is called a vagina. But he still has his penis. Fully penis guy. I don't even know how he functions all day long. But anyway, here's Rep Sarah McBride. Is a Paul A. Cipulla video. I just always want to remind people who the Democratic Party is. Is a disgrace to all Americans. This is the video that he made on Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, yesterday. Play for him.
If there is one identity that everyone associates with me, it's that I'm a Delawarean, a proud and true statriot. And today is the day of all days. It's Delaware Day.
The best day of the year.
December 7th, 1787, the day when Delaware dared to go where no state had gone before, becoming the first state in the nation to ratify the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to go spread the word. Happy Delaware Day, Congresswoman Sarah McBride's office. Emma, happy Delaware Day.
Oh, thanks, Sarah.
Hey, Pennsylvania, happy Delaware Day.
Oh, God, is this another one of your made-up state holidays?
We made Congress by ratifying the Constitution first.
I've told you this before. We in Pennsylvania do not recognize the illegal secessionist three counties of our state that have allegedly formed the state of Delaware.
You wish you were first.
All right, just had to show you. I just want to remind you, and Aaron brought this up, you and I paid for those things she was passing around too. I mean, I don't care if it was $100. I don't care if it was $50. You and I paid for that stuff. All day long, this person, and you saw one of her staffers say, thank you, Congresswoman. Everybody knows. I mean, can you imagine participating in somebody else's grand delusion? Let's go to the next one. Jake video. North Carolina, it's only 17 seconds, just hit its breaking point. Play it for me.
Students in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, are being taught that Santa Claus is a gay black man married to a white dude. It's a storybook presented to second and third graders called Santa's Husband. Lord only knows what they're doing to the elves.
Truth. That's not made up. That's from Newsmax. I mean, or own. I can't remember which. But anyway, I mean, that's a true story. Santa Claus is being taught. Santa Claus is what's being taught to elementary school age kids in the state of North Carolina is that Santa Claus is a gay black man married to a man. Mr. Claus. Mr. Claus is married to Mr. Claus. That's exactly what's being taught. That. Oh my gosh. How did you get that so fast?
Typing.
Oh my typing gosh. Fast. There it is, right there. Santa's husband. This is, again, if you're a Democrat, I mean, 585 people watching, 588 with the three of us. If you're a Democrat, please cut this to, and send this, cut and paste this, send this to a Democrat. Ask them, explain to us the virtues of your party, please. I mean, I would love to know why it is that you vote Democrat and you vote for this. The absolute absurdity of Sarah McBride and Santa's gay husband. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to cabal speech. 10:01, I'm starting the show. Ian Miles Chong video. The EU, now what's happening, of course, and this is all part of leveraging you into a one world commerce system with single access point controlled by people like Ursula von der Leyen. That's all about this because, I mean, he's just using YouTube as an example. YouTube gets more and more powerful. Like, we're on Rumble. We're on YouTube also because we've just made another account, but we were banned for life and then reinstated. But anyway, we're still just shadow banned out the yin-yang, shadow banned off of Facebook, everything else. But this is all part of, if you only have one system, and there's only one system, you know, a monopolized system, and somebody controls access to it, and that's the whole point of all everything you're seeing, whether it's COVID, whether it's climate, whether it's CBDC, social credit systems, all of that, cashlessness, all of those things, the various regulations on certain expenditures, every in the United States, any expenditure or withdrawal of over $600, I think it's withdrawal, not expenditure, but it is withdrawal, it's not expenditure, of over $600 is monitored by the IRS. Cash is basically gone in Australia. Why? Because you create a singular system that's very easy to control access to. And therefore, if you're controlling access to a system that everybody has to be a part of or they can't participate in society, then you can manipulate behavior. That's the point of all of this. But anyway, Ian Miles Chong video, the EU has been steadily ramping up pressure on Elon Musk and X. Play for me.
And finally, it takes resilience. As technology evolves, we need to build up societal immunity around information manipulation. Because research has shown that pre-bunking is much more successful than debunking. Pre-bunking is basically the opposite of debunking. In short, prevention is preferable to cure. Perhaps if you think of information manipulation as a virus, instead of treating an infection once it has taken hold, that is debunking. It is much better to vaccinate so that the body is inoculated. Pre-bunking is the same approach. Because disinformation relies on people passing it on to others. It is essential that people know what malign information's influence is and what the techniques are that are behind it. And as the knowledge goes up, our chances of being influenced goes down. And that builds up the society resilience that we will need.
Now, all this, of course, is deeply philosophical, but who exactly is going to be the arbiter of hate? If you are on the board, then anything that you oppose can then be deemed as hate. If you're on some sort of disinformation governance board, everybody remembers that. Under the Biden administration, remember that was actually put in place? Remember with the singing moron? Remember that? Nina Jankowicz, remember that? Okay. So that was actually put into place. And of course, you have Hitler's Ministry of Truth and all those. Now, who exactly, now she's talking about misinformation is like a virus and it's better to debunk, it's better to pre-bunk than debunk. But everything that she espoused during COVID was completely and totally wrong. She espoused the wrong death rate. She said that the vaccine stopped transmission and infection. It did not. She said the vaccine was safe and effective. It certainly was not. She said to stand 6 feet apart, that the six foot apart approach, the social distancing approach, was based in science. It was not. She said it wasn't a lab-borne virus. It was. So wasn't she a purveyor of disinformation? But if you are in charge of what is and is not misinformation or disinformation, then your lies can be deemed as truth and truth can be deemed as lies. And that's exactly what they want to do. Not one thing the woman ever says is correct. She espouses mass illegal migration. She espouses espouses the attributes of mass Muslim migration into every country but her own neighborhood, all of which is lies. Everything she says about the Ukraine war is a lie. Everything she says about Russia is a lie. Everything she says about transgenderism is a lie. Everything she says about the attributes of Islam is a lie. But yet she's going to be the one who deems something mis or disinformation or hate or non-hate speech. Who's gonna, I mean, again, if you put me in charge, then I'm going to say that everything anti-Jesus, anti-Christ is hate speech, right? So then everybody has to be a Christian. And then when I'm taken over by a Muslim, then anything that's anti-Muhammad is hate speech. And these people don't find this to be very, I mean, as she speaks in that German accent coming from the line of Hitler, that she doesn't find this to be, you know, mildly riveting. She doesn't find this even disturbing at all that she's espousing the same exact speech controls as every tyrant that's ever existed in the modern age. How do you suddenly become, when murder's always wrong, then how does it suddenly become right? When banning speech, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. There are levers that people can pull. There are actions that you can take if you are harmed by speech. Now, how do you get harmed by speech? Only one way. That's defamation. If you are defamed, if somebody runs a consistent line against you that prevents you from being able to get a job or lose income or keeps you or makes you lose income or makes you lose your job via the lies of another that are continuously perpetrated against you, then you can sue them for defamation. There you go. That's the end of it. That's all that we need. Those are the only resolutions that we need. I mean, that's it. That's all we need at our disposal. But yet now, for some reason, the government that gets every last thing wrong, they tell us temperatures are going up, right? But how are they measuring temperatures? They're going on airport tarmacs. So in 1903, no, it's a lot hotter now than it was in 1903, which, by the way, I moved to Florida in 1980. It's 2025, 45 years later. And you know what? Same exact degrees. But yet they'll tell you that it's much hotter now because they're actually going to the airport in Tampa and doing the measurements off the tarmac instead of off the grass, which they did in 1912. So she is the purveyor of disinformation, who's now going to be the mis and disinformation police. And they're going all over. They just levied I'll just play it for you. They just levied a $120 million fine on Elon Musk for allowing free speech. How do you suddenly consider yourself to be on the right side of history when you are now doing the exact same thing that Stalin and Hitler did, and Mao did, and everybody else? Sir Doge video, the wrong one. Carly Bonet video. This is ridiculous. X fined for breaching the Digital Services Act. Play for me.
Today, the commission has issued a fine of 120 million euro to X for breaching the Digital Services Act. This is the first ever fine under the DSA. X has indeed breached its transparency obligation under the DSA. This includes X's blue check mark. It deceives users. Anyone can pay to obtain the verified status, and X does not meaningfully verify who is behind it. It also includes X advertising repository, which does not work properly, and X doesn't provide effective data access for researchers. Failure to comply with the non-compliance decision may lead to periodic penalty payments on top of today's fine. At the same time, we have adopted today and accepted TikTok's commitments to make its own advertising repository work. What does this show? Our objective is not a fine. If you engage constructively with the commission, we settle cases. If you do not, we take action.
Now, obviously, you know that there's a public perception that, and you're clarifying this now, but there's a public perception that that was part of a apology tour, if you will, that this had been said online There was all of the criticism. There was advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger today.
I hope they stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go fuck yourself.
But
go fuck yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is. Hey, Bob, if you're in the audience.
Well, let me ask you then.
That's how I feel. Don't advertise.
How do you think then about the economics of X? If part of the underlying model, at least today, and maybe it needs to shift, maybe the answer is it needs to shift away from advertising. If you believe that this is the one part of your business where you will be beholden to those who have this view, what do you do?
G-F-Y.
I understand that, but there's a reality too, right?
Yes. No. No.
Linda Iaccarino's right here, and she's got to sell advertising.
Absolutely. So, totally. So, actually, what this advertising boycott is going to do? It's going to kill the company.
And do you think that the
and the whole world will know that those advertisers killed the company, and we will document it in great detail.
But there are those advertisers, I imagine, are going.
Yes, I think as a general rule, you can tell which side is the good side and which side is the bad side by which side wishes to restrict freedom of speech. The side that is restricting freedom of speech, that would have been sort of the Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini's of the world. They had very strong censorship, very strong restrictions on speech. That's one of the signs that they are the bad guys. And so, in fact, a restriction on speech and large government is fundamentally fascist, obviously. So, ironically, in pushing for censorship, it makes it very clear that the left is the side that is against freedom, and freedom of speech is simply one of many freedoms that we should have. As a civil society, because ideas should win on the strength of their arguments. They should not win because they are suppressed.
As technology evolves, we need to build up societal immunity around information manipulation. Because research has shown that pre-bunking is much more successful than debunking. Pre-bunking is basically the opposite of debunking. In short, prevention is preferable to cure. Perhaps we should think of information manipulation as a virus.
Okay. Yes, that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So, essentially what she's saying is, you must have your papers! They'll be digital, but you must have some. The other maids are making you have your papers. Please.
Of course, my favorite video had to be worked in when we're talking about Ursula von der Leyen. You have to stand. Never compromise. All right, that's good. 10:14. Rumble Rants Night. Nate Dad won $50. CA 1960, $20. Jules, 21 hours, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Appreciate you guys a ton. Appreciate 618 people watching right now. It's a good size podcast. You know, it's a good size. Like and share. Like and share. What is it? Smash the follow button, Aaron. Is that right?
Yeah, smash the like button.
Smash the like button.
Smash the follow button. Yep.
Get an account on Twitter. Follow us there. Also, we're also live on Twitter X. Love you guys in the rant. Love meeting you at the church when you come through the line. Love you. I really do. I love each and every one of you guys. I hope you know that. But anyway, back here. Oh, stick around for the postgame. It's awesome. Trump sings at the end. So you guys stick around for that. But anyway, stick around for the postgame. Back here tomorrow night, as always, at 9 o'clock. Love you guys. See you then. God bless you.